supposed to say again?
What kind of podcast is this?
Oh, this is Bad Play Style. We're a video game book club podcast wherein we talk about the video game we played this week.
NSFW?
Yeah, we swear a lot. And we're going to fucking spoil the shit out of this game.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about secrets?
Yeah, we're going to ruin all the secrets.
Such as?
Such as, Bastil is really your mom.
I said dad.
Doesn't matter.
Bad Play Style. Welcome to Bad Play Style. How you doing? My name's Matt. Who else is here?
I'm Owen, also known as Usually Eats Chapsnick.
I am not a shame boy, not yet a shame man. XXSJW Snowflake. Brackets argumentative XX. Keenan.
You don't have to say the XX.
I did it. I got it all, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
I didn't do the hyphens, but that's...
Yeah.
Those are optional.
Yeah, welcome to Bad Play Style. This week we played Fallout 1.
Yeah, Fallout, a post-nuclear role-playing game.
Yep.
Fallout 1.
Yay.
Fallout, A New Hope.
Oh. That's making me sad.
Owen, what Legos are you playing with?
I'm playing with like 80s vintage Lego guy.
Okay.
He has a striped shirt on.
Yeah, that's really vintage.
Yeah. Sounds like an 80s Lego.
Yeah, the stripes are only on the front handle of his torso piece.
Yeah, the back is just white.
The back
shirt
is white.
Has stripes.
Yeah. Stripe and shirt.
Your shirt, stripes.
Yeah.
Way good.
Your pants, blue.
You, Keenan, before the podcast, you told me that something video game angry.
So, I've been playing Dead by Daylight, right? Mm-hmm. And I decided to get a more holistic understanding of the game. I would play a survivor.
Dead by Daylight, that's that slasher game,
it's
right?
The 4v1 asymmetrical multiplayer game where there's four survivors against a super murderer. Mm-hmm. Usually of a horror movie variety, some of which are licensed.
Dope.
Yeah, Michael Myers is in it. Freddy's in it. There's a character inspired by Saw in it.
Yeah, so?
Who puts the bear traps on your head.
Can he be the Predator?
No, that would be dope.
Yeah.
There's a rumor, I think I talked about it on one
the
of our
scream.
Other,
the
scream rumor.
Scream,
yeah. So
seems all right.
I started playing as a survivor because one, you queue games way faster, and two, like, I'm actually kind of good at being a killer, and sometimes it gets boring murdering everyone.
Wait, can I derail you for like a second?
Yeah, yeah.
What if when you're the Predator, instead of hunting like kids at summer camp, you're hunting the other murderers? Because like
that'd be dope.
The Predator's like in a completely different weight class.
Yeah, he's in a tier above.
Because he can like literally become invisible and like shoot lasers and
shit. Yeah.
And throw javelins.
Yeah.
And shurikens.
Yeah. God, they've just enhanced that term so much. Yeah, so I've been playing more Survivor, because there's, like, a lot of neat perks that survivors have and everything. But the other day I'm in a game, and so one of the mechanics in the game is when you're a survivor, you're playing third-person view.
Okay.
So you can see way more as far as your field of view, but killers play first-person.
Mm-hmm.
So they're narrowed down to their first-person view, and as a survivor, you understand, like, oh shit, I got way more visibility, I'm gonna sneak around this dude, right? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So... The mechanic when you're a survivor and a killer starts approaching you is every killer has what's called a terror radius. And so within that radius, the game starts pumping a heartbeat into your speakers. And that's like you, like, you know, hair prickling on the back of your neck, like, it's coming type stuff. And so we're working on a generator, me and another player, and there's no communication between survivors. Like, the only way you can communicate between survivors is if you're, like, on Discord or a secondary service and you're playing Survive with Friends mode where you all queue up together. But, like, otherwise you have two buttons. One of them is look over there and one of them is come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they have emotes and that's it. There's no verbals. So we're working on this generator together like you do. And then, like, the heartbeat starts and we're like, shit, get out of here. And I run and I hide in this like, crook between a tree and a rock. Like, you know, game assets, right? Like, tree, rock, boom. There's a thing there to hide in. So I hide in the corner, and dude runs up right behind me and locks me into this corner. And so the heartbeat getting closer, getting closer, getting closer, getting louder. And I'm like, dude, and I'm like, freak, like, I'm doing everything I can to show him, like, I want out, right? Like, I'm moving back and forth, I'm crouching up and down, like, I'm doing everything, like, let me fucking out. And he's just sitting there crouching, staring at me, and I'm like, oh, you motherfucker. Like, I started yelling into my microphone that doesn't do anything. I'm just like, fucking let me out! Like, and so the killer comes around the corner, and he leaves, and I get stabbed, and I'm like, you fucking suck. I, like, reported him in the in-game thing and everything. I was like, this is... Fuck this.
You know, Keenan, there's no wrong way to play.
I agree, but that's a dick move.
It's really rude of you to yuck his yum.
That's,
you
know? That's a dick, like, move.
Like, he's having a great time playing.
There really ought to be a survivor who, like, slows other survivors around him when the monsters are around. And he's like, let me go first. Let me go first. Yeah.
It's like the horror movie trope of, like, the fat, loud kid.
Yeah. Like, the thing is, like, he's way fast. But the killer knows where he is all the time. But he also knows...
Because he won't stop chewing loudly and yelling, hey, guys!
But he also knows where all the other survivors are and slows them by 20% if the killer's nearby.
That would be so brutal in that game. Anything that slows people is just no. Like, the killer already runs faster than you.
Uh-huh.
Like, period. So, yeah, Michael Myers' thing is that his terror radius is super small at first. So you can literally do the, like, Halloween movie thing where you just, like, show up, stare at them from around the corner, and then get to stabbing. Like, it's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, anyway, what have we been playing, right?
What have we been playing? I mean, you're already talking.
Should I just branch into it?
Yeah.
So, I've been playing that. I've been playing a lot more PUBG, because I like it, and because I'm kind of good at it, so it's fun to stream. I've been streaming. It's the same as my fucking Twitter ID, if you want to watch.
Which is what?
I'm at twitch.tv/savoryscrimp.
Okay.
Yeah. And then...
Keenan didn't play any other video
games. I didn't really play a lot else. No, I played Fallout.
I played PUBG
and I played Siege. And that's... Oh, I went back into Software Inc. because I had a management game itch. That game is further along in its early access tree and has some cool stuff in it. But I realized I don't want to run a software company with hundreds of people in it, because that's the end game of that game, is that you own a big software company, and the mechanics in that game are not built for the end game of that game yet. Like, it's really hard to manage shit at a certain point, and I don't like management games that just go off the rails because it doesn't
break.
Do it. Yeah, it just doesn't do it right at that point. It
doesn't scale.
Yeah. So, I stopped playing that, and I'm going to play some more Factorio.
Cool. Factorio's a good game.
Yeah. That's it.
We're in a content drought in Warframe right now.
Yeah.
Because they're working on a lot of big stuff
that's coming
out later.
That's exciting.
So it's cool, but they recognize that shit's not going on, so they took an old event that we did.
Oh, yeah, I saw that they recycled
that.
And we're
just like, hey, just do it again.
Yeah. With the same reward.
Yeah. It's literally, they just turned it back on.
Yeah.
Like, literally, that's all they did.
It was like, yeah.
So that's cool.
It's probably still a smart thing for them to do.
Yeah, no.
It was a good event.
It's a good event. Yeah. You get really good rewards for it. Yeah.
Timelines reuses a lot of its events.
Yeah. So it's a good strat right now. I've been doing that a lot because the rewards are really good and they're hard to get outside of that event. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing it. And then play Fallout 1.
Yeah.
Had a really good time, but we'll talk about that in a minute. And then I rebooted up Pillars of Eternity, and I made a rogue,
Cypher?
Paladin.
Oh, you were talking Brad about it. So.
Yeah, made a rogue paladin, and I'm all about, like, there's a sword that does an ability that rogues already get, where every time someone misses you, you get to hit them.
And oh boy.
So basically every time someone misses me, I get to hit them twice.
Right, yeah.
And then just stack my deflection so they miss me. And so I just get in the pit with my mirror image on, and I'm like, hit me. And then they all hit me, and I go, and it's really fun.
That's cool.
On your not turn.
Yeah, my not turn.
Yeah, that's
like, it doesn't even matter that my character's still, like, recovering from their attack.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it doesn't matter.
Because it's an automatic.
Yeah. But it's fun, but that character is very vulnerable to being shot.
I imagine magic fucks him up, too.
So I went to, it was cool, yeah, being range attacks suck for me.
Yeah.
So what I did was, I went to the bar and was like, yo, you got any adventurers? And I was like, let me tell you what adventurer you have. And
sure.
I made my last character, who was a, like, ranger rogue who used a gun.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, so I just made my last character and they follow my current character around.
Nice. That's a cool way to play that. Yeah. I like that idea. So, no, we're just tagging people.
You know what'd be really fun in Pillars is to make a party. It's like, okay, this is my character from Baldur's Gate 1. This is my character from Icewind Dale.
Yeah.
This is my character from, you know,
if I had that lineage in fantasy RPGs, that would probably be like a thing I did. But I never really played Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, and I tried earlier this year to play them, and the games are just too old for me. Like, it's hard to deal with the game.
Mm-hmm. Which... I feel like that's the CRPG equivalent of, I got this badge for getting a this badge.
anyway, Chapstick/Owen. Actually, you know what?
What's that?
Just Owen, because that's over.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, I got my name back.
Yeah.
Just me, I'm Owen.
Hey, Owen, what did you play?
Yeah.
So I had, like, no time to play PUBG this last week. I had family visiting from out of town.
It's been a lonely, solo kind of week for me.
Yeah, so, hanging out with family, they needed to see the VR.
Mm-hmm.
I put them in the VR. Good. We spent a lot of time playing the VR.
Proper.
Yeah. You do the thing you do when you're the VR owner.
When you're the VR owner and they don't VR.
Yeah.
You VR them.
So we put them in Job Simulator and stuff like that. But, they got tired of wearing it for a little bit, so I was like, oh, well, I want to boot up a thing. So I started playing Flotilla 2.
Oh, finally.
Yeah. It's a little more... I don't know if bare bones is the right word for it, but, like, it doesn't have quite the Brenn and Chunk flair that I was expecting.
Okay. Spartan.
Yeah, you start out, and there's a big, ridiculous Brenn and Chunk VR helmet in front of you.
Yes, excellent.
And you have to pick the Flotilla scenario cartridge out of the shelf, and put, like, it does the thing that Job Simulator does.
It does the thing a lot of VR games do.
Yeah.
Where you put on a VR helmet in your VR.
Yeah. And then you're just in a flotilla fight.
Super Hot does that.
Yeah, Super Hot does it.
Super Hot subverts that. Super Hot
does it, yeah.
Super Hot commentates on it, though.
Yeah, sure. So play a little bit of Flotilla, too, and it's cool. Like, the way you just pick the orientation for your ships is it's just how you pose your hand.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did
you ever play Laserbait?
No.
Yeah, okay.
I remember that name. I think that's, like, on my wish list or something. That game looked kind of cool.
Yeah, it was, like, a 50 Cent VR game that I picked up a while ago.
Let's see. What else did I play? Played a ton of Factorio.
Yeah, I noticed.
I've been leaving it running when I go to sleep. And so, like, on my game where I beat the game, I've launched, like, 130 rockets. So
just,
like,
letting it crank away?
Yeah. Just, like, letting it roll. Yeah, I don't know. That's about it, really. Played a ton of Pokemon Go.
Do it, man.
Cool. Oh! There was one last thing. I downloaded that Stage 9 Enterprise D VR tour thing that recently got cease and desisted.
Gross.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. So I have the most up-to-date version that supports VR. Their VR version was always, like, one version behind the most recent one. So, like, you can get 0.10 and it has, like, better stuff, but I have 0.9 or version 9 or whatever. And that was really cool to cruise around the Enterprise. I tried going to the shuttle bay and, like, my frame rate started tanking because it's just, like, huge spaces.
Yeah.
And also, like, probably not optimized, I'm guessing. But it's cool. I'm definitely going to hold on to that RAR archive.
What kind of graphics card do you have?
I have a NVIDIA 980.
Okay.
I have, like, the...
Just for frame of reference.
The minimal VR tier.
Yeah, I have the minimum VR spec. Like, right after I bought that thing was when they announced the 1080s, and that's also when, like, Bitcoin happened to graphics cards.
Yeah, fuck that.
And so, like, I'm just going to ride this graphics card.
Yeah, by all means.
Until I can't.
It'll do.
Good plan.
Cool.
Are we ready to talk about Fallout 1?
Yeah, man.
Hey, if you haven't played Fallout 1, this is the time to skip to other parts of the podcast.
The meat of our podcast.
Yeah, because we're going to talk about Fallout 1, and we're not going to pull our punches. So, that's us.
Also, it's like a 20-year-old game, so, like, if you're going to get mad about spoilers...
Yeah, it had its birthday this month.
If you're going to get mad about spoilers, send it to our email, I guess.
Also, you should just go play Fallout 1.
Yeah, you should play Fallout
1. Do it. It's good. It's also super cheap on Steam. It's like $3 or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, Owen, why'd you pick Fallout 1?
I picked Fallout 1 because I think most people who say they like Fallout games got on board at Fallout 3 and don't take the time to play Fallout 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And I think they're very good games. Fallout 2 is my favorite, one of my favorite games of all time.
Me too.
Yep.
Fallout 2 is fucking boss.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why I picked it. Because I hopefully at least one person will play Fallout 1 that wouldn't otherwise.
That'd be dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. We're evangelizing, motherfuckers.
Yeah. Yeah. We are not impartial. We are very biased.
Yeah. You can put the comma on that sentence.
We want you to play the old Fallout games.
So, that being said.
Yeah, what's up?
What didn't work? Fallout 1.
I mean, there's the elephant in the room. There's the timer on the water chip. It's like the most detrimental thing to you exploring an open world game.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's that. I was going to say, in Mariposa, turning off the gates by using the radio in a way that you never have in the inventory.
Oh, but that's not the only way you can turn those off.
Okay, but that was how I did it, yeah. And I was like...
Oh yeah, that probably sucks.
I was like, so, wait, what? This is like literally never a menu I've interacted with.
Yeah, so I think the biggest barrier to entry in Fallout 1 is how the game chooses to use some of its systems.
Yeah, it has a number of systems that it doesn't use a lot. So you don't get accustomed to...
And it doesn't explain them
like
at all.
Like traps in general.
Yeah. Yeah, like traps.
Traps in general or using items on things is not... It's not clear in a modern sense.
Yeah, it has some, like, adventure game
logic. Yeah, yeah, some point-and-click logic.
Yeah, like using ropes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, using ropes is, if you've never seen someone do it, like, that's how I figured out how to do it in Fallout 1. Yep. I watched you do it
literally
Fallout
15, like,
and I was like, oh, that's a thing in this game. Okay, yeah. I get it. And that's when I got to the glow, I was like, oh, that's how you get into the glow.
Right, you just have to figure out where on the screen you need to click to get the actual trigger.
To get the rope.
Then. But that's, like, one of those things where, like, we are right on the cusp of that being a thing in games, mm-hmm. as far as, like, our age range is concerned. And so for people like my girlfriend, who is, like, 4 years younger than us, it's like a fuck this, I'm out, like, mm-hmm. thing. Which is, like, it's sad, because Fallout's fucking rad, right? Like, so it's difficult, because, like, that's, like, the one big barrier to entry, is that, like...
Although, it occurs to me
obfuscates its shit.
You can beat the game without using any ropes.
You can... But getting to the master without knowing that function is hard.
Yeah.
It's actually undoable.
No.
Okay. Well, the way I went, it's undoable.
Yeah.
Well, like, what are you talking about?
So there's a point in the cathedral where you have to use one of their stupid badges to open the door.
Mm-hmm.
Which door?
The back door to the upstairs to talk to the guy to go to the master.
To talk to Morpheus?
Yeah. But there's apparently another way in that I don't know.
Yeah, so for me, the cathedral went like this. I went into the cathedral and I didn't know where to go. And I talked to some dude in, like, armor by the door that I wanted to go through. And I was like, hey, man. And he, like, insulted me. So I was like, cool, I'm done with this conversation. I went over the door and it was unlocked. And I was like, is anyone going to care if I just pick this? No, no one cares if I pick this. And I went upstairs to Morpheus. And he was like, yeah, I'm Morpheus.
So is your lockpick, like, really high?
Yeah, it was okay. And I went up to Morpheus, and Morpheus was like, who the fuck are you? And I was like, I'm a spy from the master? And he was like, you shouldn't have told me that, and tried to shoot me. And I was like, well, cool, I guess I'm shooting everybody now.
Yeah.
And I shot everybody, and then I went back downstairs, and I was like, okay, where do I go now? Search in the back area. Find the thing to downstairs.
Yeah, but the wall says, like, I'm a weird wall.
No. Okay. I went to the back stairs, and I went to the basement, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I walked around the basement, and I was like, what the fuck? And I walked around the basement for a really long time, and then a guy came out of the wall and said, what the fuck are you doing here? And I was like, this. Bam! I shot him. And then I went through, and there was, like, centaurs back there, and then I went to the master. So, like... Just lockpick.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I think you can blow open almost any locked door.
Yeah. That was the other thing is I had 3 pieces of explosives in Mariposa. And so I blew up 3 doors to get to the last part where you turn the bats to blow up.
Yeah.
But then there was one more door that I couldn't. So I had to go back all the way to the front of the base and figure out with the computer what I needed to do. I was just like, I was adventure game, just plugging everything, trying to, and then eventually the radio worked and I was like, ugh, and they turned off and I was like, went back down. Didn't have to use all that plastic explosive.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what didn't work is, like, some adventure game ass.
Well, like, just some, like, holdovers from old, like, what old, this game.
Right. Like, if you had played this game at the time, it would be totally natural. I'm just going to click stuff.
Yeah. And,
right?
And that's why I really think it's really unfortunate that Fallout 1 didn't get a remaster.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, that would fix nearly all the problems I have with this game.
Like any amount of, like, when you go to Vault 15, like, any amount of interface to suggest, like, you can use items here from your inventory.
Right. Yeah. Even a quick tutorial on that function.
The other thing I was going to say is, like, there's a lot of sort of, like, chaff NPCs in this game. There's a lot of just, like, people spread out.
I actually want to come back to that point later, because there's a thing I want to talk about what I think actually makes this game very different from the later Fallout games with regards to, like filler people.
Yeah. So there's a lot of filler people, and the people who aren't filler people use the same sprites as filler people.
It's kind of hard to know who to talk to.
In the 3D Fallout games, that wouldn't be a problem, because I'm just talking to everybody, and that's not really, like, hard to do.
Well, and also in a 3D Fallout game, when you put your crosshairs on someone, you see their name.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this person is named Settler, and this person is Ian Jarvis.
Yeah.
You know, like, clearly Ian Jarvis is a person.
You have a name!
And Settler is not a person.
In Fallout 1, I have to go over, right-click, and click the binoculars, and then it'll tell me who they are in their description. So, like, it's harder to find the content.
Oh, yeah.
Right? In a lot of situations.
And there's definitely also just, like, not enough character sprites in the game. Like,
yeah.
Like, there's just a ton that you see repeated, like, a lot.
That same farmer.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
same caravan guy.
Well, it's like the blue jeans and leather jacket guy.
Yeah,
you know, like, which that's the one that stands out to me the most, because I always think of that sprite as Ian.
As Ian. And then you fight 9 Ians with Ian.
Yeah, and you have to be like, wait, which one's Ian?
Did you guys get that random encounter where, like, you are attacked in the desert by raiders, and it's you and Ian and 6 dudes who look like
6 dudes who are Ian, yes.
Yeah.
I got that one multiple times this playthrough.
When did your Ian die?
So I went into the military base with Dogmeat, Ian, and Katya, who I don't know why Katya exists. But
I don't know why any of the NPCs
follow
you around in this game.
So like, there's no way to give them more hit points, and like, they don't really put armor on. So
yeah, I tried to give Ian combat armor, like Sulik would have.
He wasn't into it.
You can take his leather jacket though.
Yeah, yeah. He's just not into wearing it though. Like, whatever you give him.
So Ian starts with a pistol, and you can get him to use an SMG.
Yeah, which I did.
And that's about as far as you can upgrade.
It took him like a good 3 rounds of combat punching people for him to remember he had an SMG, because however the script triggers didn't come up.
Oh, you can talk to him a little bit about, like,
I did.
What he should do.
But, like, it took him a minute to...
Yeah.
Yeah, but they all died really bad to the first wave of mutants inside the base.
Oh, yeah.
Because those dudes attack you on sight, one of them has a rocket launcher and 2 of them have miniguns.
Mm-hmm.
That was a rough time for everyone who wasn't in power armor behind me.
Yeah, my NPCs did not make it to the military base.
Yeah.
I had Dogmeat, and by the way, this is the only actual Dogmeat. All other NPC dogs that follow you in the game are a different dog. This dog has died. It shows up in Fallout 2, but it's only an Easter egg, and those are just other dogs that people are calling Dogmeat.
Yeah.
Dogmeat even canonically dies in Fallout 2 in the prologue.
Yeah, they talk about how he died at the base.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So my I got into this fight in the hub to go rescue that Brotherhood guy, and we go in, and they've got very good guns, those guys. Like, it's a rough fight, especially since
don't they have, like, assault rifles?
They have, like, combat shotguns.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, that's real good.
Yeah. And
that's a, like, rip you apart type
and
thing.
This is the quest that you have to do to get power armor, so you can't have power armor in this fight.
Oh, I never did that quest and I got power armor.
There's another repair way. Yeah,
I
fucking hate the repair way. I can never tell if I have enough stuff, enough repair skill or whatever.
I had speech.
Yeah.
So when I went to the quartermaster, I was like, hey, can I get that thing? And he was like, no. And I was like, come on, it's my ass.
They're gonna kick my ass if I don't do it.
And then I went downstairs, like, and I had enough from repair books that I was just like, dirt, dirt, and it did it.
So, anyway, though, so we go to this house, and I go in, and Dogmeat comes in with me, and combat starts, and Ian stands outside on the street, and he does nothing the entire combat.
Yeah,
he literally did not participate, and this is the only time he did this the whole game. And so Dogmeat did a fucking great job fighting, but, like, Dogmeat got punched too many times in a row in that combat, and Dogmeat just rolled over at the end. It was very sad. But he died to get me my power armor.
Yeah. All my NPCs died the goriest of deaths that they could.
Oh, really?
They all got crit by miniguns.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Ian got crit by a laser rifle in Necropolis.
He fall in half?
No, he got
Morpheus,
in half.
Morpheus shot Ian.
Oh, okay.
And he just died.
Yeah, Morpheus has an assault rifle.
Yeah.
And Nightkin.
So when we get to talking about the end of the game and which way we went, I'll explain mine. Mm-hmm. My character was a speech, energy, weapons, repair character.
Okay.
Because those are things I'd never done in Fallout 1.
I have speech, lockpick, and energy weapons.
Yeah, so buddy. Go on. What's up? Yeah. So naturally, I went to the Brotherhood and did everything I could to Brotherhood it up. Mm-hmm. But by the time I got to the end, I was only level 8. So I tried the dungeon a couple times. Hell, I tried fighting through the Nightkin a couple times. That didn't work out. So I strapped my stealth boy on, and I went upstairs and I talked to my boy Morpheus. And he takes me to the basement with the Master, who proceeds to rip the shit out of me because I only have 64 hit points.
Oh, man. So this thing happened to me when I was fighting the Master, where he can do 20% of my hit points to me every turn. Mm-hmm. So I can shoot for, I can fight for like maybe 3 or 4 turns, and then I have to spend half of one turn going into my inventory, like healing myself up.
Yeah.
But then there was one time where the Master shot me with the miniguns from his chair, and they crit me and did more than my full health.
Twin Gatling lasers. Yeah, he did that to me at one point. Yeah,
and like, my guy just like falls apart. And I was like, what the fuck,
I died, man? With like negative 40 hit points.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That didn't happen to me.
So when we get to the end, I just decided, fuck it, I'll join the Super Mutants this time.
See, I think this is BS, because it's not like an ending to the game. Like,
that's game over.
That's equivalent to you died.
Yeah, like, totally.
Your vault got wiped out.
Yeah. Well, you become a mutant. Like, they dip you.
Yeah, I know. Thing. I've done it.
Yeah, like...
I've seen that ending.
Yeah. No, but it's definitely, like, I coughed out, I admit that. Like... Yeah.
Okay. So me, I did the classic, like, sniper build.
Yeah, right? It's what I did, small guns.
But I did it with energy weapons.
Sure.
But here's the thing about the sniper perk, is that it goes, okay, you did this many attacks, and we're going to roll a luck roll on each of those, and if the luck roll is higher than your luck, then if it's, like, it's reversed, if it's, like, so your luck is the reverse DC, so, like, it's higher, then if you have 10, you have 100% chance of getting a crit. That's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
Right? So if you burst fire with anything, they're all crits.
Okay.
And you just burst fire 6 crits into somebody. And then if you have better criticals, there's a 20% chance on each of those shots that they will die instantly.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, is that what happens over 100? Mm-hmm. They just die instantly?
There's a 20% chance that they'll just die instantly.
Man.
Yeah.
That's special.
Yeah. So, I used the Alien Blaster really early in the game.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which was really nice.
Well, yeah, if you have 10 luck, you're going to find
it. I'm going to find the Alien Blaster, right?
I got the BB gun. That worked well early game.
So, I did the Alien Blaster for a really long time, and then I got to the Cathedral, and I got the Gatling Laser. Mm-hmm. And then it was Gatling Laser time. And Gatling Laser, it cuts anything.
It's so good. It's so good.
Well, especially when I'm critting for 400 damage.
It's why the end boss has 2 of them, because it's so good.
Did you hear me? 400 damage?
Yes, I did. Yeah, that's awesome.
That was, like, regular.
Yeah.
It was, like, fine.
Yeah, that's awesome. By the way, luck is broken.
Yeah, luck's really broken, which is cool. Because, like, luck in most RPGs that have luck is usually...
like, really tangential and boring.
Yeah, it's really, like, really extraneous and, like, not something that you focus on.
Well, also, the random encounters you get from luck are phenomenal.
They're phenomenal.
So, perfect example. Dead by Daylight has a luck system. I don't know what the fuck it does. But you can strap items on your character going into a mission, a level that increase your luck.
All right, whatever.
Yeah.
One of the random encounters is you find a capsized Nuka-Cola truck, and you get, like...
Yeah, you get, like, 10,000 credits.
Yeah, you get 10,000 caps.
That bought 2 operations at Brotherhood HQ. Yeah.
That's where my money went.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yo, I got carry weight problems. Give me some strength.
I probably should have done those, because I definitely... the build, I was doing a small guns build, carrying the sniper rifle around, and there's a Blade Runner blaster in the game that is, I posit, the best gun in the game.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's like only downside is its range, right?
Yeah. If you have the perk bonus rate of fire, you can do 2 targeted shots in a turn if you have max.
Yeah, the Alien Blaster can do the same thing.
Yeah.
So I say the Alien Blaster is slightly better, but
its ammunition is less abundant.
Right, but once you get to the part of the game that it's basically infinite.
Yeah. So the running cost of this thing, like, the ammunition costs fucking nothing, and I'm using, like, a bullet, maybe two bullets per kill.
Because you're shooting, like, fucking giant rifle rounds at people.
Yeah.
It uses FMJ, right?
Yeah. And so I got to the point where I stopped looting things.
Yeah.
In the game, it's just like
I
don't know what I would do with this. Ian already has 710mm bullets. Like, I have 1500 of my ammo. It's to the point where I can't even pick up stim packs now.
Yeah. That's a lot of ammo.
Yeah. Well, because it's like when I get to a vendor, it's like, okay, so I have all this shit I looted.
Yeah.
And I put it in the trade window.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, it's worth this much, but they only have, like, half that much in credits. Yeah, or in so caps.
Give me all this ammo.
So, okay, it's like, okay, well, give me all your stim packs and give me all relevant ammunition to me. Mm-hmm. And it's still never enough.
Still never enough.
And so I just take the hit, you know, like, every single time.
Yeah. Which, like, I actually like in the context of, like, trading in a video game. Yeah. In that, like, you got too much shit, right? Like, you got too much stuff. No one can offload into this.
In a game that has a barter statistic, I wish there was at least one merchant that could stand toe-to-toe with you.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, get closer. Mm-hmm. Like, the Gunrunners, aesthetically and in a role-playing sense, make pretense towards that. And then the one dude who says, I was in the Brotherhood, the Nuclear Brotherhood, the guy in the hub.
Yeah.
He says, like, oh, I got the best guns. Like, both those guys, aesthetically and, like...
Like, you should be rolling in it,
in what they're telling you, they tell you that they're rolling in it. And, like, compared to the other merchants, they are.
Yeah.
But when I show up with 20 Desert Eagles and go, yo, what do you got for me for this? And they're like, oh, like, a tenth of the value of that. I'm like, come on, man!
Which, like, it helps build, like, the scarcity and how badass you are. But it's also frustrating in, like, a... Yo, that's not what they're worth.
All I need to know about how badass I am is that I just ripped three dudes in half with the alien blaster in 1 second.
Yeah.
Just whip, whip, whip. You know? Just like...
Some fucking Cowboys versus aliens shit. Yeah,
because you can do two targeted shots, or you could do three regular shots.
Yeah, pistols are so good in regular Fallout.
And when they do 30 to 90 damage per shot, 30 to 90, then they're going to be dead. So... That's what happened there.
Yeah, that's a wide range, but it don't matter. Most people don't have 60 hit points.
No. How'd you guys encounter with the Master? Like, how was talking with the Master for you guys?
I talked him down. I was like, hey, your mutants can't breed, dude.
Sure.
And he was like, fuck! And blew himself up, and I laughed. He was like, so.
It sounds like you fought him.
So, I tried fighting him a bunch, and I was just too low level, right?
That's right. When I got to the Master... Like, you know, there's that long hallway that leads to him.
Yeah, the psychic damage hallway.
Yeah. There's a perk in the game, in the game that you can't get that protects you from that.
Mm.
You like, the description of the perk is that, like, someone in a shady bar teaches you psychic protection.
That's a Fallout-ass thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's very good. But as far as I know, there's actually no way to get the perk. You can only get it with the character editor.
Okay. I want the flavor for that to be that they folded you a tinfoil.
So, anyway, it's like... I'm at that hallway, though, and it's like, I know that the Master's fight is, like, a little rough. Because, like, there's no cover, there's no tacticalness to it.
Yeah, you're just blasting.
Yeah, you're just standing opposite each other, and you burn each other's hit points.
It's, like, the most Western of fights in, like, in a video game sense. Like,
so it's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do some psycho before I see the Master.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I haven't screwed around with drugs at all, so, like, my guy's clean.
For those of you not in the know, psycho gives you more action points.
No, it gives you damage resistance.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's even better.
It gives you damage resistance because it also lowers your intelligence.
Yeah, which you don't need.
Yeah, so but it's like, whatever, I've been killing Supermans, like, there's got to be psycho around this base somewhere. So I take two hits of psycho, walk into that room, and the Master's like, ah, you're here. And like,
and you're like, Robert!
Yeah, my guy cannot verbalize.
Yes!
Because I'm at one intelligence. Because you lose like 4 int per hit of psycho.
Yeah.
Or something like
that. Yeah.
Or maybe it's like 3, but still. Like,
that's enough.
Yeah. So my guy had like a 2-syllable answer.
Excellent.
And the Master's just like, oh dear.
Yeah, so one of the wonderful things about Fallout 1 and 2 is if you're dumb enough, if you're level 4?
I mean, it's different cutoffs. Like, okay, your intelligence governs what you're allowed to say to people.
So there's different cutoffs in intelligence.
I think straight up that, like, the different dialogues have different tags.
Yeah, so there's different dialogues. Like, if you have high intelligence and there's a perk you can take, you get way more dialogue options. But the opposite is true. If you are lower intelligence, you get fewer and fewer dialogue options.
To the point where
you're like a grunting animal who murders people.
1 and 2 is where the dialogue options all change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, like...
It's like playing a Malkavian in
It just makes you, like, this ridiculous murder machine, because those points had to go somewhere. Like...
So this actually, like, really bummed me out, because, like, talking about the master is, like, one of my favorite...
it's a good conversation.
Yeah, it's a good... Well, even if you don't talk him down, he's just a great talking head. Yeah. He has a lot to say.
Yeah, there's a lot of good...
Three voice actors at once.
Yeah.
It's
good stuff. Master's real weird.
He's super creepy.
He's like a super Cronenberg boss in a way that, like...
Yeah, I love just the flesh everywhere.
Yeah.
And, like, a TV screen and, you know...
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. I forgot. And so I talked to him, right.
My first exposure to these games was Fallout 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had seen, like, screens and stuff. Before I played the game, I assumed that the lieutenant was the master.
Oh, sure.
Which, you know, makes sense.
Yeah, he's a talking head. Right. There's not many. There's really not very many.
There's, like,
Fallout 1.
9?
Eight. There's 8.
8. Okay, yeah. I saw 6 of them, so.
There's the Circle of Thieves guy, who you probably missed.
Yeah, Loxley.
Loxley.
Was like Loxley, Katya, Aradesh,
Tandy.
Tandy.
Thorgard at the base.
Yeah, also just that one merchant. He runs one of the water caravans or something.
Oh, I missed that guy.
Jacktown Mayor.
Killian.
Killian
Darkwater. Richard Dean Anderson.
Yeah.
And Tubby as well.
Yeah. I think there's more than 9. It's not a lot.
There's Harold.
Yeah.
There's Set.
The 3 inside the base. The Brotherhood base. There's the Brotherhood Elder, the Chief Scribe, and the Chief Paladin.
Yeah.
One of the Children of the Cathedral, there's just a woman. You can just talk to her.
Oh, I missed her.
And she has an animated face. And it's like, who the fuck even are you? Like she doesn't even have a name, I don't think.
So, like...
I guess she's just there so that, like, you get a very tangible sense of how creepy the Children of the Cathedral
is. So part of the elephant in the room for me with Fallout 1 is realizing, like, how actually small this game is.
Yeah, it felt incredibly small this time when I played it.
Like, I remember it feeling really big and, like, for good reason, right? Like, like we were saying, like, it's a really early open world game. There's a lot of places to go. There's a lot of people in it.
Yeah.
As far as that's concerned, but like from the lens of now,
I was definitely hit by that. Small. Yeah, it's very tiny, and I remember on this playthrough, like having this feeling of like, man, I haven't played this game in years. I should make sure I talk to everybody in the Brotherhood of Steel and like figure out like what the Brotherhood of Steel is like doing right now.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like in Fallout 1, the Brotherhood of Steel isn't. Like doing a thing, the Brotherhood of Steel is existing to establish itself in the universe,
right?
You know, so like a lot of people
have like a main mission,
There's
no goal here.
Yeah, a lot of people are just standing there to tell, kind of like expatiate on you, like
I'm here because
they're supposed to be like the ideal or like hope for the future, at all, you know. So even though their answers to all the questions about how to survive in the wasteland are kind of wrong,
Also, the Brotherhood...
makes sense, though. They live in a hole in the ground.
Right? Like, just... At one point, just says that, like, they sell weapons to anyone in the wasteland, which is really weird.
Like, hey, you shouldn't do that. And, like...
And, like, it's, like, almost, like, at odds with, like, the sort of isolationist angle that comes out more in other games.
So how come I'm not running into raiders with laser pistols? I think there were, like, ideas about how the world of Fallout would be structured as far as, like, factions that didn't really go into the later games.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the whole nuclear brotherhood, right? Like, the idea would be that, like, you know, there are these other enclaves of old world civilization that exist.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, sometimes they get wiped out. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, you think about, like...
What are the influences here?
Well, and imagine Fallout is a management game and you have a town.
Mm.
It's going to be like RimWorld. Like, shit can go bad quick.
Yeah.
Right? Like, like you got seven people.
It's a harsh world out there.
You know, like, it's a mess. Like,
well, I was just thinking about, like, at the time you're making Fallout, like, what are your influences? It's like
early
TSR Gamma World stuff and Wasteland.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like those are your two, right? And then Mad Max had come out recently.
Well, and knowing that, like, everything in Fallout 1 is written in like a, I think it's like a 6 week,
10 years.
Oh, okay, whatever.
knowing that that game was, like, made mostly by one guy and like, what, written in, like, 6 weeks.
What was made by one guy?
Fallout 1. Like, most of the engine was made by one dude.
I need to see a citation.
There was a good article about it. But, basically, like, I guess Fargo, like, sat in the back and built the engine while they did, like, stuff at Interplay.
Yeah, are you talking about the thing where basically he pitched the game to Interplay and they're like, cool, but you can't have anybody, so he had the pizza
place. Yeah, he, like,
so,
yeah.
So after they did those and, like, they came up with the ideas, they brought it back to Interplay and, like, the whole game was built by the whole team. So.
Yeah, but, like, they threw most of the content in the game in, like, a really short amount of time, from what I remember reading the article. So, like, this game is already sort of like a miracle that it happened in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
And then...
I want to play that time-traveling dinosaur game. you know? Where you're the statue at the end.
Yeah. So, one of the things about Fallout 1 that I'm sort of noticing now is that it's definitely, like, this weird, like, golden child game from a creation standpoint. Mm-hmm. Like, we're gonna do the things we don't get to do anywhere else.
Yeah.
Right? Like, like that's very much this game's aesthetic, and that's part of where its charm comes from, is, like...
There's, like, an interesting way it uses even what little space it has. Like, we were talking about, like, how it's, like, such a small game world. Like, there's, like, less than a dozen towns or something like that.
I think there's, like, literally 12 options on the map.
When
you finally pull them out.
And none of them are terribly large, but also at the same time, like, each of the spaces is filled out with dozens and dozens of buildings and people and furniture that, like, really aren't critical to any of the missions or quests.
No.
That, like, they all still have this, like, filled out feel to them. Like,
puts this life into it.
Like, you could fit all of the relevant people to talk to in the Brotherhood of Steel in a single room.
Yeah. But they don't.
But the Brotherhood of Steel's four floors, and it's got, like, it's got a big, like, conference room where, like, the elders address the knights. And it never gets used in the game, but, like...
It's there, and you understand that's what it's for.
Yeah, to have that type of place, you have to have that. And there's, like, a giant locker room for all the knights, and there's a library for the scribes, and there's this and that. When you go to Shady Sands, there's a whole screen's worth of crops you can look at.
Like, I know these people eat crops. This fucking corn because it's fucking here, like... Yeah.
And the hub is a great example of that, like, there's tons and tons of buildings and people, like, the hub is a place.
That don't do anything,
You know, because, like, you are not the center of the universe. Not every single person in this world exists to speak to you.
Right.
Yeah. This ain't a fucking theme.
Which I actually like.
Yeah, right? I love it. I just thought it was really interesting that even with how small this game's game world is, it still takes the time.
It fights against the theme park nature of these kinds of games.
Yeah, there's only these places and there's only these things to interact in them, but there's other shit going on outside of what you're doing. And they convey that enough with very little in the long run, right? There's not these random side conversations NPCs are having. There's not... I think Fallout 2 has a lot more of that.
Yeah.
But I was really impressed by,
sorry for interrupting, but that's an interesting point. In 3D Fallout games, you need that bullshit extra conversation of people being like, hey man, did you hear about mud crabs? Mm-hmm. Right? Like,
yeah.
But in the 2D Fallout games, you don't need that.
You don't need that at all. All
right.
That dude's over there toiling on his farm.
Yeah.
Well, and there still even is some of that in Fallout 2, because you get, like, a little floating text on people's heads of people chattering.
Which, like, I don't mind. That feels like a Fallout thing to me, right? And it's this really early precursor to what we're talking about in the modern games, right? Like, games wouldn't have that without certain games doing that before it. But, like, it's sort of impressive at this point how minimal so many things in Fallout 1 are.
What they got away with what they had.
Yeah. And then knowing, like, the little things that come later in Fallout 2 for me, like, it's impressive that they looked at the systems they built and were like, oh, it needs this, and oh, it needs that.
Yeah,
did you guys,
Fallout 2 is so fucking good because of this.
Yeah.
When you guys got to, Necropolis, did you talk to any of the ghouls?
Yeah.
So, do you know the thing about the Master's Army and the ghouls?
No.
How they'll eventually get killed?
If you leave them there, like, the super mutants will wipe them out later. But also, if you take long enough getting there in the first place, they'll just be dead when you arrive.
Okay, because I didn't remember them all being there the first time I played the game. But I think the first time I played the game, like, I lost because of the water chip. Sure. Right? Like, I was like, oh, fuck, I got totally distracted. Game's over.
Yeah. So they will have wiped out, the super mutants will have wiped out everyone there. Like, even, like, Set and Harold. I think it's Harold. I'm not sure. Harold might make it out, but like they just massacre everybody. And I read once that
it's not the same Harold, is it?
Yeah.
So then he makes it out.
Well, but like my playthrough isn't the canonical.
No, I get it. Playthrough. I get it. But like
whatever. But the in the original design, there was supposed to be an invisible clock, and the Master's army would literally rove across the wasteland and wipe out
Holy
towns.
Holy shit.
That, like in their, like, fucking ubermensch future of the wasteland, like, they would, first they'd go to, you know, Junktown and kill everyone.
Just kill everybody.
Yeah, and then they'd march to the hub, or they'd march to Shady Sands.
Which explains why the Vault Keeper, the Overseer, is like, yo, we gotta do something about this, right? Like, that makes that conversation make
sense. It makes them a much more real existential threat to the Vault. Whereas I never quite understood, I remember even in my original playthrough, like, you return the water chip, and the Overseer's like, okay, but these mutants really worry me. It's like, why are you worried? You have, like, this nuclear bomb-proof door. Like, you're good.
that would have been cool if, for instance, like, if you go to Necropolis, and, like, the door to the vault underneath Necropolis had been, like, rocketed open by the, and said, talk about that. Like, we didn't know there was a vault down there, and mutants just, like, blew it open, and you'd be like, oh, cool, so Vault 13, not safe.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That would have been cool.
That would have been a cool piece of exposition.
That would have been cool. So, I'm really glad to know that the mutants eventually wipe out the dudes in Necropolis, because it means that my decision to have Ian and I, without power armor, attack those mutants and kill them at great cost to myself and ultimate cost to Ian.
fucking hero.
So, I'm really glad about that.
Sorry, bud, you're going in the XP blender.
Look, I mean, like, if you're going to go up against 200 hit points of super mutants with a leather jacket and a submachine gun...
You get what you deserve.
10mm AP ammo. Yeah. Like, that's what's up.
So
that's,
you know what's funny is...
You made your decisions.
Yeah. I fought those super mutants with a sniper rifle, and the sniper rifle in Fallout shoots very far.
It's very good.
It shoots very far.
Like, literally... whole set pieces.
Yeah.
Which is not a small space.
Yeah. Like, their AI also can't cope with being shot from over a certain distance. Yeah.
The super mutants are very dumb. They can't cope with very much distance.
Yeah. So,
you don't even need a sniper rifle.
Yeah, there was like some super, there, when I engaged the super mutants that are like guarding the
You can like max range hunting rifle them pretty easily.
I was assault rifling the ones.
Yeah. So like they just didn't react. Like they just let me shoot them in the eyes repeatedly. until they dropped.
Yeah.
Ian made it through that one for me. But
yeah. So did you guys fix the pump in Necropolis?
Yeah, I fixed the pump.
No, because everyone's dead. Who cares?
Okay, fair.
I fixed the pump
and I didn't kill
all of them. I fully intended to, but then I got there and all the ghouls were dead.
And you're like, oh, I guess I don't need to do this part.
Yeah, I took so long getting my power armor, like
oh.
Okay. Yeah, this was pre-power armor for me.
Yeah.
Necropolis was like the fourth place I went to.
Yeah.
So I went in there.
I was like, I need that chip.
Yeah.
Like, I want to turn this timer off.
I had an alien blaster already, so I was feeling hot. And I had, like, green combat armor.
Nice.
So I was feeling hot. Right? I went in there and was like, all right, all these super mutants inside, dead, 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 dead. And then the guy outside, so the guys inside have like 50 hit points.
Yeah, well, they're not Nightkin, they're just like shirtless.
Yeah, they're just shirtless normal mutants. The dude outside, the guy who's like, you need to go see the lieutenant.
Yeah.
That guy has like 200 hit points.
Yeah, he's some serious
shit. So I was like,
there to scare you.
I was
like, he's straight up there to scare you.
Bazow, and like shot him, it was like 80, and I'm like, huh. And then rips my butt open with a chain gun, and like, I'm almost dead, and I'm like, Stimpax. And then he does it again, and I'm like, okay, I just gotta shoot this guy and hope for the best.
Yeah. Which like is definitely a function of Fallout combat, by the way. Like there's a point where you're like, I don't wanna keep this up. I'm hoping he's dead.
Like, well, and I experimented a lot with, because the super mutants are very dumb. Mm-hmm. I would do stuff where I would hide around corners.
Yep.
I would, like, take a single hex out and be like, pop, pop!
Oh, then, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
And they'll literally walk all the way to the corner.
Right up to me, and then I'm like, hey, your eyeballs are 95.
Yeah.
Blah, blah.
Yeah. You activated my trap code. Right? Like,
oh, my.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, but the thing about this game being small is it still packs in, like, a stupid amount of character to it.
Mm-hmm.
All the way around, right? All those talking heads, completely different people.
Yeah.
This really reminded me that video games used to have, like, seasoning to them at all. It wasn't like, here, eat these saltine crackers. It was like, well, it's not like a white people family reunion. I cooked this shit for long enough.
Well, the Talking Heads are always really interesting because, like, when one pops up, like, there's a tremendous amount of resources that's put into making this NPC versus any other you run into, right?
It's like rotoscoped claymation, right?
I think some of them are claymated. They're all, and it's made by two different artists.
Okay.
And so that's why, like, half the NPCs all have, like, one facial archetype and half, like, Aranesh looks a lot like General Maxon.
Yeah.
They both look like Bill Cosby.
Kinda. Yeah, I kind of, like, I was like, whoa, when I met Maxon after Aranesh.
Yeah.
Like,
huh. And so I think those ones are claymated and, like, the other ones are CG or something like that. But what's interesting is, like, there's a, when you encounter a talking head, like, your immediate, like my, at least my immediate response is, like, a lot of resources were put into making this NPC, but the NPCs aren't always incredibly important people.
Right.
You know, like, they're oftentimes people you could very easily miss, but they're all very, still very deliberately placed.
Right.
Because they're there to, like, tell you a thing about the world or tell you a thing about the people that you're encountering.
Even if they don't have a mission, they have a purpose. Yes. Yeah.
So, like that Children of the Cathedral woman, like...
She's baffling because she doesn't have
one. Yeah, well, no.
Because he just figured it out. She gives you a feeling of what the cathedral
is. Yeah. So, like, she doesn't matter. She doesn't have a name. She's just this fucking... a churchgoer, right? But, like, all the people there are super creepy, and she talks in a weird, dreamy, culty way.
Yeah, no, so she's the representative of that,
yeah,
right?
Well, and so she's just there to set the tone about the Children of the Cathedral for you. Just like fucking Loxley, this NPC, you can, like, 90% of the people probably miss him. He's this thief that hides in a basement.
He's really hard to get to.
Yeah, he's really hard to get to. And he's...
What the bloody, named, bloody, bloody hell are you doing
after
here?
After Robin Hood. Yeah, so that guy, he speaks in a British accent.
Nice.
And if you
which makes no fucking sense.
If you make him angry, he drops the British accent.
Yeah, okay.
He's doing a thing.
He's doing a thing.
My favorite is, and this I think becomes a blueprint for later Fallout games, there's always, or they try to, have somebody who's boots on the ground member of faction, and then try to have somebody who's leadership member of faction. So, like, they do this with the Brotherhood, right? You meet the door guard guy, and he's like, this is what Brotherhood's like on my level. And then you meet
Kabat.
And you meet Rhombus, and you meet Max, and they're like, this is what the Brotherhood's like up here. And so they all have, like, different ideas of what it
well, and, is. Well, and Vree, too.
Yeah,
Vree. The scribe.
Yeah.
Like, you get to see the... You get a talking head at the Brotherhood at every level.
Yeah.
So literally.
I think and that's, like, that's a blueprint that I see pasted into later Fallout games. Like, for instance, the radioactive jerk-off nerds from the Shivering Isles expansion for Fallout 4.
The Children of the Atom?
Those guys, they do that.
Okay.
Yeah. You have, like, a couple of NPCs who are down low in the totem pole, and you get an idea of what they're like, and then you meet the High Hierophant of radioactivity. Fucking dumb. Anyway. Yeah. Hey, do we want to talk about this music real quick, though?
Yo.
Yeah, Mark Morgan made great music. You can get it all for free on the internet. He put it up on his personal website.
Did he?
Yeah. I think his website has gone down, but, like...
It's out there.
The music's out there, and, like, he said it's cool. You can have it.
Yeah.
So, it's very atmospheric. It's very good.
It contrasts, like, really heavily with the 3D Fallout games, because those all feature your Pip-Boy's radio, and it's all jaunty period music.
Like 50s.
Yeah, like 50s, 60s, like... Like poppy stuff.
Yeah, I love Butcher Pete, but this music is much more thematic to what's going on in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, the 3D Fallout games are much denser as far as, like, people.
Yeah.
And even stuff, because, like, a lot of what's going on in Fallout 1 and Fallout 2 is like, hey, you know, there's an ass load of wasteland.
Well, also, I feel like in Fallout 1, the lack of, like, poppy jaunty music from back in the day creates, like, more of a grim contrast to, like, the fallen world that is no longer.
Right. So it's like when you find something that's pre-fall, it's in the Fallout 1 and 2, when you find something that's pre-war, you're like, oh, this is like an artifact.
Yeah. Right?
But, like, in 3D Fallout games, if you find something that's pre-war, it's, like, normal because you've been listening to that music.
Yeah.
Right? So...
Yeah, it reconnects you to the real world, the music in the newer games, reconnects you to the real world in a way that the other games didn't want.
Didn't want to do.
Right? No. It's less grim, as a result of it.
To quote Baby Cakes, it was not best for the product.
Yeah, which is interesting.
You know what's funny is in Fallout New Vegas, if you don't listen to your radio, it features a number of songs from Fallout 1 and 2's soundtrack by Mark
Morgan. Like it's background music?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Like if you... what's the name of the town that Caesar's Legion raises in New Vegas? The one
on the dam?
Pym? It's not Pym. It's Prim? After that. Prim. That's what it is.
I thought Prim was the one with the roller coaster.
Yes, it's the one after that. I don't know.
Whatever. There's the city where you meet the guy who won the lottery and didn't get executed.
And then shoot him.
Yeah, that one specifically is like playing the music from the necropolis, like when you get
there. Oh, yeah, it is. Like yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I ran into that dude. I was like, hey. He's like, I won. I was like, you powder ganger? Yeah, I'm a powder. Blah!
Yeah. I know my allegiances.
No. Not you fuckers.
I think the reflections of why I like New Vegas is more apparent playing one again.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, each of those places has an identity, has people in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whereas,
it feels dense.
Yeah. Whereas, right. And also, both games use their white space, I guess, is the term I would use, like, in a design sense. Like, the world map in Fallout 1 and 2 reminds you that there's all this nothing, and that it very often can kill you, right, in the early parts of the game. Like that,
a particularly stealthy rat scorpion has managed to sneak up on you.
Not that many people do what your character does in going town to town and etc. by themselves. Like,
well, there's a lot of really good like textural random encounters mm-hmm. that like really aren't in any way critical to the game and like honestly don't even help you very much. Often the merchants of them like won't really have anything of value.
Yeah, or the three mole rats and some fruit in boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like for example, I think
it's... That's my fruit!
I think it's in Fallout 1 or 2, I can't remember. But if you travel specifically in the squares on the map that border the ocean,
yeah,
you can get an encounter of just, like, a fisherman. And, like, half your map will just be filled with water.
Right.
Like, there's water sprites in that game. Like, you, like, never see them, but, like, there's water sprites for that game.
Huh. Weird.
Yeah.
I ran into the car dealership.
Oh, nice.
That was cool. I was like, this is not the game of the car. I'm done talking to you.
Like, I shot that guy.
He can give you the BB gun with the red paint on it.
I think, that's where I got it.
Oh, okay.
I think I jacked it out of his chest.
Yeah, because there's two BB guns in the game.
Yeah, I had the limited edition one.
Okay, good.
I deagled that guy in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, Fallout 1's really good. It's doing a lot of things we take for granted now.
Yeah, and it's also, it does a lot of things that, like, I feel like, open world games have moved away from a little bit. I don't want this to just be the, like, dunk on Bethesda hour, but, like, when I think about, like, going to cities for the first time in, like, Morrowind has a lot of the same kind of, like, white space that Fallout does. Like, there's all these houses, and it's just these people living their lives, and, like, most of them don't matter. They're not merchants, because, like, Balmora is just a real city.
Right.
And there's...
But all of them have names.
All of them have money.
Sure, but like I feel like the more and more like I never felt that way about anyone in Diamond City. Like everyone in Diamond City and Fallout 4 like matters to some degree.
But they have their dialogue tree and they barely exist outside of it.
Yeah,
right.
Like, what's like it. All the people in what's the first town in Fallout 3? The one with the bomb at the bottom?
Megaton.
Yeah, there's all these NPCs that have names that don't matter at all.
Well, so that's like a funny example because. They are literally cut content. Like, mm-hmm. they all had quests. And the reason that city, that town in Fallout 3 stands out from any of the others as just having, like, textural people is because there was a whole town of quests.
Yeah, but they cut it because then the town could be destroyed early on and they didn't want people to miss the quest. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the only person I wanted dead in that town comes back anyways!
Yeah. fucking Moira. Anyway.
Good luck with your book, Moira.
I really like Fallout 1, and I hope y'all's do too.
One more thing. I was gonna say. Oh, so right. I've been running into this problem lately, where in these kinds of games, the CRPGs, when I get into town, especially a town for the first time, I get really overwhelmed and really anxious, and like I just want to find the stuff. I just want to find the stuff to do, right? And then in this game, there was a lot of instances where I was just like. What I was in was essentially just a D&D dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the combat in this game made that feel really good and really fun. It made me feel clever for using it. Clever, like hiding around corners.
Its pacing
and stuff.
Is really...
Yeah, the pacing. And, mm-hmm. and like endlessly just firing two shots in my turn and then stepping back around the corner. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That was fun. Right? Yeah. It was fun.
Or like,
it felt good to do.
The systems allow you to be crafty.
Right?
Or like those moments where you realize, like, that rat is far enough away from me that if I use the... So I have one action point left.
Yeah.
If I use this one action point to walk one step back, he will have to spend so many action points walking up to me, he won't get to attack.
Yeah, and then I get more attacks.
You know, like...
Yeah, the system forcing the action economy...
Mm-hmm.
In the ways that it does. And then that you can upgrade your character to change that action economy.
Yeah. That's the thing is, I've been thinking about this a lot with RPGs, is like, do you need to have a lot of really cool, fun options for your character? Like, do you need to have things that are different? And it's like Fallout 1 kind of proves it. No, you don't. Everybody in this game kind of just shoots.
Yeah.
Right? Or they hit stuff with bayonet, and that's kind
of
it.
And what they're and shooting like, changes, but you, the mechanics
you
of it
get don't. Like, when you take perks and stuff, it changes stuff a little bit in, like, the background math in a way that makes you more effective, but it doesn't really change what you're actually doing.
There, yeah.
Right? And so I just, like, that was cool. It just, like, it felt good to do things in this game. So, yeah. Is it, you guys good? We want to talk about Black Isle at all?
We can do that.
We miss you.
Yeah, all right. That's really all I wanted to say.
Anyway. Yeah.
So it's time for the Not Real Game Awards. This is the part of the show where we've compiled a list of words that describe particular aesthetics we want to gauge. Yep. Bump. That we want to gauge each of the games that we talk about on. Yeah.
Generally, things we value as players.
So the first one is, and we intentionally leave it a little bit vague because it's supposed to be like a vague aesthetic thing, right? Of like, this person made me feel this feeling. Does this game make me feel this feeling? Right. To what degree?
What's relate?
1 to 5. 5 is the maximum score. These are all the things I think I need to say for you understand what's going
that's
on
a good
here.
Intro for the
Todd
Howard.
Howard.
Todd Howard. Let's get 0 Todd Howard.
I love it.
Yeah. This is... God damn it. Like, I don't even have a defense.
No, there is no...
There's like, no defense.
Yeah.
I have zero hesitation.
Because he just does it wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Or not wrong, but, like, not this way.
The game that Bethesda's making, like, fundamentally has different values. And... Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like, and it's really interesting, because, like, how did we get from, like, this thing that basically is part of the creation of the CRPG genre, and then also has all these, like, artifacts from point-and-click adventure games. To literally a Rust clone.
Yeah.
How did we get there?
But it's... Oh my god. It's Fallout with all the humor and none of the weight.
Yeah.
Right? Like we're talking about the music differential, we're talking about, like, these extra people, like Fallout 3 and 4 is shedding the grim,
I think when looking at, like, the later Fallout games, and, like, 76 for that matter, like, I think it might serve us well to play through Fallout 2 again, because I think Fallout 2 has a very different tone from Fallout 1.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think 3 and 4 in New Vegas all...
They have different tones.
But they all take from it and go further with it.
Okay.
And so Fallout 1 stands in such stark contrast to, like, 3, 4, and 76...
But it's important to play 2.
To play 2.
That's fair.
2,
that's
2
fair.
Is a big step up in, like, goofiness. There's a lot of...
It's like Saints Row.
Kind of,
like, the first one was just a GTA clone, and then we get here.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's...
First one doesn't even have freckle bitches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's upsetting. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Good
I think
point.
Remembering, yeah, there's way weirder shit in 2.
Yeah.
And way funnier shit in 2.
And there's a lot more really out there random encounters.
Gonzo humor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brandon.
You just defended Todd Howard.
Well, I mean, hey, we want to be fair.
No,
right?
No. Yeah. It's a like, very good conversation point. It's just like, huh, wow, we did find one. Okay.
Like there are aspects of the games that he makes that I don't enjoy, but then also at the same time, like, definitely freebase some crack cocaine. You know what I'm saying? Like, definitely done that.
I've definitely freebased some Morrowind.
Yeah,
that's for goddamn sure.
Freebased some Fallout 4.
And he was somehow involved in that,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, I just, real quick, the guy who created, like, the cool things about Morrowind, MK,
mm-hmm.
he worked at Telltale, so he's a free agent now. So I'm very interested to see where he ends up.
I want him to have more systems than Telltale was willing to make.
Yeah, exactly. So,
moving on.
Rip Telltale. Get jobs, guys. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck out there. Brandon Chung, the creator of...
Gravity Bone and 30 Flights of Loving and... Air Forte.
That's all we need to say.
Is there like a one?
Brandon Chung.
I'm not going to give this any Brandon Chung, so I can't think of anything.
I feel like there's enough
I feel like I want to, but I can't justify
it. I feel like there's enough of like a weird Gonzo off-the-wall element.
But not really, though, because it's like, Fallout 1's really grounded.
Especially 1 is really grounded and grim.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And like, if there's one thing his Brandon Chung's games like fucking aren't, is grim.
Yeah. Or grounded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, the most grounded one is the one that's actually, like, a full-length game, right? Like, the hacking one. And that one's still really fucking...
There's some bonkers-ass shit in that game,
So,
Trains in the sky, yo!
So, Nina Freeman, creator of such games as...
Like, that's another zero.
Yeah.
But creator of... We're gonna... I'm saying who Nina Freeman is. I mean, also, yes.
Pink hair aficionado.
Anime princess.
Yeah.
Dev Hime.
Fulbright contributor.
Yeah, that's I mean, fair enough. So I'm zero on Nina Freeman. I didn't feel too many like I didn't cry.
It doesn't go far enough on any particular.
You don't stick with anyone long enough.
It doesn't spend the time required
like, Ian died, and I was like, okay.
Damn, it sucks that Ian died.
I reloaded after Dogmeat died like twice, and then I let go. Right, like that's it. Like, but nothing quite has the depth it needs for you to get attached.
Yeah. Simon Vicklin, this is an interesting one. I'm gonna go with 2.
I'm gonna give it a 1. Like
Keenan?
Why 2?
Because I
can definitely be on board with a 1, but I'm curious why.
Because miniguns, because katanas, because that RPG thing is like, oh, so like what's the best melee weapon? It's a power fist. Right? And you're like, what?
There's still Desert Eagles that work.
Yeah, exactly. It's like what's the good handgun? It's a Desert Eagle. What's the best gun in the game? It's fucking minigun.
Yeah, dude. What's the combat armor? Oh, it's Doom Guy armor. Yeah.
Fucking power armor. Yeah.
So it's okay, I'm with two. Yeah. I'm with two.
Right, it's that whole, like, it's the GURPS mentality from the 80s and 90s of, like, what's the best melee?
God, I just put together that the combat armor is just Doom armor. Yeah.
Kind of the look at the
helmet. Helmet's a little different, but like
But what I'm saying is, like, there was that whole like World of Darkness. It's like, what's the best melee weapon?
Yeah,
it's the katana. Whereas, like, you know, you get to things like later, like D&D, where you're like, what's the best melee weapon? It's like, well, that's not really a good.
That's a really complicated question. Yeah,
there's fucking throwing knives in this game,
but like,
no one's using throwing knives in this game.
I had a raider throw a throwing knife at me.
I had an NPC whose entire build was built around throwing knives. You know what happened? She used them in 5 combat encounters, and because I didn't pick them up, she never had them again.
That's so fucked up. Like, you have to pick up the NPC's throwing knife.
I literally looked at it at one point. I was like, I should probably pick that up and hand it to her. Nah, and I left.
And also, throwing knives are, like, mad expensive in this game.
They're impossible to fucking find.
The followers are, like some bad shit about Fallout 1. The followers are completely, like, afterthought.
They're garbage.
Oh, and they use ammo.
Yeah.
I remember in Fallout 2, like, you give them a stack of ammo and it lasts forever because they don't use it.
That's not true.
No?
Okay, they use their ammo in Fallout 2.
I think ammo is just more prevalent in Fallout 2.
They're also smarter in Fallout 2.
Also, you can push them if they jam you.
Yeah.
So I went to the Followers of the Apocalypse before I did the Cathedral, and like, if you tell them, like, hey, I'm gonna go fuck up those Cathedral guys, they seem like they suck. And they're like, hell yeah, we're with you. So you can get, like, a cadre of dudes with metal armor and spears to, like, come with you when you attack the Cathedral.
That sounds rad and dumb.
And, like, here's the thing, is, like, I know what you're thinking, like, the Nightkin are gonna cut these fools down. And that's where you're fucking wrong. We went up every floor of the cathedral.
Oh my god!
And we just rolled past everyone.
That's fucking rad!
And we kill everyone. We're at the very top, and I go into a room to, like, loot a body, and they all come in after me and block the door.
Did you have to kill them?
I had to kill them. I had to kill every single one of them.
Imagine that situation. Like, dudes have, like, fucking, like, nuclear hazard symbols tattooed on their foreheads. Look at this grim look in their eye. This, like, piecemeal metal armor. These fucking scrap metal spear. And you're, like, back there with your combat shotgun. You're like, oh, sweet, med pack. Wait. can you guys move? They're just like, no.
So they
make like thwomp noises at you.
That and scrolling through bodies on the ground are the two things I was like, oh, wait,
where's the take all button, man?
Oh, where the fuck is the
take all button? What I actually find more egregious than the no take all is the fact that when you move caps, you can move them around in increments up to 900.
Yeah, that's really frustrating too.
And things will often cost several thousand caps.
Making me do math.
Like, so you have to drop multiple piles of 999 caps.
And then add 27.
Alright, so we got a little derailed on these Not Real Game Awards.
Hey, that's totally fine. So we're on two?
We're on
Simon.
Two for Simon
Bickman. Two for Simon Bickman. What about J.E. Sawyer?
Ooh.
This is a difficult one.
I'm going to give it a bunch.
How many were you? I was thinking three, possibly four.
I was going to say four.
I'm feeling four.
Alright. We're on four.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about built. Who the fuck is J.E. Sawyer?
He makes RPGs.
He's an RPG guy.
He likes Fallout.
He made Pillars of Eternity.
He worked at Black Isle during Fallout 2, but I believe did not get
a producer yet.
Get a chance to work on Fallout 2, and then proceeded to work on Fallout 3.
The Van Buren,
the one that never came out, and then later came to work at Obsidian and got the opportunity to make Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah,
cool.
So he's a.
So he's a Vera Fallout boy.
He's the Isaac Leibowitz of Fallout.
Oh yeah, he made that mod pack.
So let's justify four.
Yeah.
Keenan.
Like we were saying, like most of Fallout 1 functions to build the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And build it in a believable way that's
it's all these like different systems that like fold into each other like a katana.
Yeah. Hey, we're water traders.
Yeah.
Right?
There's water merchants, there's farmers, there's people.
Oh, I love that if you actually do blab about like where your vault is, the timer goes down a bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? That's cool. That's dope. We good?
Yeah. I think like we've already described so much of what justifies the four.
It's funny, in the Fallout 2 manual, the Vault Dweller's Journal specifically says that he did that. That he hired water merchants to increase the timer.
It is an option.
And by doing that, he realized he tipped the master onto the location
of the vault. The location of a vault to get some prime humans.
Yeah.
Yep.
Prime normals.
Yes. So, next award on here.
God, that guy's dialogue rules.
Lieutenant is very...
Yeah, the lieutenant... He has the
both
best,
of them.
He has, like, the best, he has the best death animation.
Yeah.
He doesn't. There's one death animation in the game that is beyond all the others by a very wide margin. All
right.
You can shoot the Overseer.
Yeah! And his death is so good!
He has the most obscenely graphic death animation.
It's the most, like, Doom before Doom shit. Yeah. Like,
So when he comes and meets you at the end of the game and says, like, I can't let you back in,
You
can just pop him in the head, and, like, his fucking intestines pop out.
His fucking rib cage goes
on the ground.
Oh, God.
Like, it's like... Because, like, the Overseer is a complete piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Because he's just manipulating the entire time, because you were, like rabble-rousing
him. Yeah. And so like it's like the developer's, like, throwing you one. You know, like this guy's, like... And also, killing him changes nothing about your future. You're still fucked. You're still exiled.
Well, yeah, because, like, you either can't come in the vault, or you shot the Overseer, so you definitely can't come in the vault.
Yeah. Right. What are they going to do, kick you out of the vault? You just did, like...
Yeah.
You can't fire me, I quit. Right? Like, that's that moment. Like,
yeah, no. Although, interestingly, on this playthrough, it wouldn't let me shoot him.
Huh.
I've done it before.
Yeah.
But when I played this time, it wouldn't let me start combat after he finished talking to me.
Interesting.
So I wonder if that's, like, a version change, because I know the version of Fallout that's on Steam has had some stuff done to it.
It's been tweaked. Interesting.
Jeffrey Bezos.
I can't think of any reason to
give me either.
I mean, like, he is the master, but, you know, whatever.
Like, no, but, like, the master...
It's not like an industrial plan.
Yeah.
No, like, I'm not trying
to
argue for numbers here.
He's making bespoke mutants, Keenan.
I'm not arguing for numbers here.
He's a mutant artisan.
Well, and also, like, the master's doing it out of a legitimate belief that this is, like, the best thing to do.
Whereas Jeff Bezos is piling up money for no conceivable reason.
Mutants, same-day delivery.
He just wants to break everything. Tarn Adams.
I'll give it like a one.
Who the fuck's Tarn Adams?
He's the Dwarf Fortress guy.
Yeah. He's the Dwarf Fortress guy.
Right. He's one half of Bay 12 Games.
Why do you feel a one? I don't really have like an opinion on this, but why do you feel a one?
I don't know. It's just a feeling.
There's a lot of motherfuckers living underground in this game.
Alright,
justify that one. There's a lot of dudes living underground.
Jake Solomon.
Ooh. It's got some good-ass, 90s-ass tactical combat.
Yeah. Is that like a 2?
Yeah, I'd give it like a 2.
It's a 2 because I didn't like care.
It's a 2 because I don't have any caring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, like, I think we're adept enough in the character system in this game that, like, the combat is not really a threat to us in a big way.
Like, it throws some curveballs.
Yeah.
It gets pretty rough. Cool. Those criticals, man.
Jake Solomon made the current iteration of XCOM.
Yeah.
And the last one.
Yeah. So. Well, to say he made it, like, he's, like...
producer.
Yeah, he's the producer on
it. He's the face of it. He's the front
man. Those games are made by many people.
He sings the songs, and the band plays the songs, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
he championed it to Firaxis.
So we're at
no one would listen.
We're at 2?
We're 2.
We're 2. All right. Cardboard Computers?
I'd give it, like, 2. I think it's got a lot... The when I was talking about random encounters earlier, there's a lot of like textural moments that remind me a lot of
Fair.
Act 1 of Kentucky Route Zero.
I'm on 2.
Of like when you know, like when you're at the map view on Kentucky and you're just cruising around and you see like
Yeah, there's a lot about KR Zero that's
and it's
none of it makes me deep think the way that it does in KR.
But it's very like subtly like, hey, remember this era? Like
and it has like the sort of like same sad desolation of like meeting a man alone in the desert with like a milk crate full of bottle caps.
Yeah,
you know,
and like you could shoot that dude and have 7 more bottle caps,
and like no one would know.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a thing I forgot to bring up. So like one of my favorite mods for 3D Fallout games is to turn off karma alerts.
Yeah,
and it doesn't stop the game from recording your karma,
and it's still on your Pip-Boy.
Yeah, it's still on your Pip-Boy if you go look at it, but it doesn't tell you you're a good boy every time you do a good boy thing, and you're a bad boy every time you do a bad boy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it gives you more of a space to think about how you feel about what you did, rather than just being told whether it was
karma. It allows the action to be more ambiguous.
And so the karma system in Fallout 1 is the same way. It doesn't give you a, like a little vroom noise and a notice on your screen.
Doesn't mobile game at you.
Yeah. And so it didn't even occur to me to look at my karma screen until I was like near the end of the game.
I never looked at it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
23. Positive 23. But that system's like way less fleshed out than 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like that system's more fun in 2 as a
player. Well, Fallout 2 also does town-based reputations. Yeah. Which I like a lot.
Yeah,
I think that part's
really good. Yeah, that is cool. It's it reminds like the stuff in New Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Moving right along. Owen, you recently played some VR things. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about that? Like any specific experiences or like?
Not really.
Games you
like? I had a good time playing VR games.
Dakota came over to our house and was like, "I want to use the VR," but the tables were up, so he couldn't. It was funny.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then we played Overcooked 2, which is cool.
Yeah.
Hey. I don't know if I actually want to buy that game. Like, I see the things they added to the game, and it's like, I don't know. Like, that looks enough like Overcooked 1.
It's a very similar thing. Yeah. But it was a lot of fun playing with 4 people.
Sure.
Where can I find it?
If you want to email us game codes, dick pics, and screeds, you can contact us at badplaystyle@gmail.com.
Or we're on Twitter at badplaystyle.
Has our Twitter done anything recently?
We tweet our episodes.
Okay. We should do other things. I don't know what else we do, but our Twitter should do
more talk things. To our Twitter.
Yeah.
What up?
We're on Twitter. Are we giving out a chicken hat, Owen? I think that's...
I have mixed feelings about this.
About my giving into the mutants?
I feel like joining this mutant army and selling out your vault is not a, like... I finished the game. This is like when we played Beat Cop and we both got kicked off the force and that was our ending. And like we took chicken hats for that. I feel like it's the equivalent of getting kicked off the police force.
Well, okay.
Does it change when I tell you that I tried to fight him like 10 times? Because I did.
Keenan, how do you feel about
it? I'm fine with taking one if you guys think that's what's up.
I mean, also, I think Keenan doesn't need any help getting chicken hats.
Yeah. All
right. I also want to bring up, like, is it similar to what happened to you in Pyre? Because I know that was more of, like, an intentional thing, but, like, is there any comparison there?
Because, like I said, like, part of the reason I engaged with that option is because I'd never done it.
Sure.
Right? Like, okay. I know what the other ones are doing, so...
I guess the only reason I'm picking a bone at it at all is because by doing that, it locks you out of the resolution of a lot of
absolutely. Game. I noticed that. I was like, "Whoa!"
Like you don't really get much of an epilogue. Do
no,
you?
No. It's like
you don't get the.
It's
the
like
slides.
Two things. Like you go to your vault and you murder everyone, and then you join the Unity, and it spreads across. Like that's it.
Yeah, you don't get slides about like
You don't get an epilogue on all the places you visited and the things.
No, because the second one is basically like, yeah, you...
Yeah, you wipe these towns off.
You unityed everything, right? Like, like, everyone's part of the Gestalt weirdness that is the Unity now, like...
It's funny, because you're like, hey, Master, your mutants can't breed. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, fuck.
Like, he doesn't... Right? Like, and he doesn't fucking know, right?
And, like, and he just blows himself up. But at the same time, it's like, dude, why don't you just, like, have a vault full of prime normals? Just fuck it. Like, you know? And, like, every 50 years, you're like, dog, give me all your old people.
Just
I'm
play,
them.
Just play Fallout Shelter, bro. Like, yeah. Like,
just like we're going to roll around the waste and we're going to kill all the radiated humans because they're bad for dipping.
But, like, his whole thing is that, like, it's not just that he wants to, like, kill everyone in the wasteland, right? Like,
no, he wants to, like, bring about the next evolution of humanity, right?
Yeah, yeah. Which, like, this, like, isn't really.
Sure, but, like...
He's forcing it. Like, it's the fucking forced evolutionary
virus. That's the thing, is, like, he's not, like, truly... Like, he's not a villain for villainy's
sake.
Yeah,
he's not a twirling mustache.
He literally believes that this, like, in the world that we are left with...
This is how we're doing it.
Like, this is, like, the only path forward.
Sure.
So, like, that's why he doesn't keep, like, a weird breeding stock of humans.
Well, I'm saying, I think there's solutions besides blowing myself up. Yeah. If that revelation happened to me as the Master, and my belief was that we need a way to, like, combat the wasteland as people, mm-hmm. right?
And like, even so, like, first thing I do is murder the dude who just said that. Because he knows.
No, I mean...
Like, but, like, look at the Master. Look at Richard Gray.
Yeah.
Like, he is a man who is committed to this... Yeah. Path that there's really nothing he can do at this point in his life.
I get it, and I don't question it. I'm not like, oh, the Master was crazy to blow himself up. I'm just saying, I think there's probably a third option in there that he's failing to recognize because of the emotions of the moment.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's how fair. Much emotional control do you think that television has? Like, really? Probably not that much, right? But I'm saying, like, I think that if he had thought about it, there could have been, like, a middle way here that he could have pursued. But anyway, that's besides the point. Here's what I'm going to say. I don't think we should give Keenan a chicken hat. I think we should give him a tiebreaker. So if in the event that there is a tie this season, Keenan will automatically lose that tie.
Okay, I think that's fair.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's what I want to say. That's...
I'm done with that.
Because I feel like his,
I can accept
his, the way he chose to deal with the situation was legit,
mm-hmm.
and like in keeping with the game, he did receive not a "you're dead" screen, but like he
sure
like, this is what happened to the wasteland, right? Like he made it to the end,
okay.
Right? But it was just like due to him rushing through the game, which dude, he didn't have enough HP to do the last encounter, mm-hmm. which I get in old RPGs that can happen,
yeah,
right. So that's what I'll say. We are playing Shadowrun Hong Kong for the next episode. I'm excited about it. Shadowrun's one of my favorite. We're playing more CRPGs.
Yeah, we played a hell old CRPG, and now we're playing a hell new one.
I didn't even realize the parallels there. That's fantastic. That's what we're playing next week. We already talked about where you can find us. We did the chicken hat. The only thing left... The only thing left is Sam Fisher Versus.
Okay.
So, Owen, set
you're
this...
looking at me.
Set well, this
stage.
Is your game.
You gotta set the
you're
stage.
You got your hair all the way to the ceiling on this one. Your Don King necklace going on. Like, you... Right, ding,
this,
ding,
this,
buddy.
The scenario is Sam Fisher is approached by the Overseer, and the Overseer tells him the water tip's broken, and they need a new one.
So you're saying Sam Fisher replaces the protagonist.
Yeah, he's
okay.
Just straight jacking dudes.
I feel like...
I mean, a way you could put this is it's Sam Fisher versus the Master.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I think Sam Fisher wins, like, hands
down. I think
down.
He does, too.
Because Sam Fisher is a Lux Sniper handgun build.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
with sneak.
Yeah, with
which,
sneak.
Like, don't fuck with that.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
fuck with that.
Sneak small guns.
Is there, is
look
there
at
any,
that dude's character is, sheet and walk the fuck away!
Is there like, some sort of, like, sneak attack mechanic in Fallout 1?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, it is in the sense that you can get right behind someone and do a burst. Or...
Yeah, no, like sneak in Fallout 1 is just some, like, hard shit. Like,
also... You
what came first? Me or the burst?
Yeah.
like pickpocketing, putting plastic explosives in their inventory.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's like, some like dastardly.
Yeah, there's some rude things you can do.
Yeah, fucking sauna to the eyes from the back of the head.
How the fuck does that work?
It works like that. The numbers still happen.
I don't hear a lot of resistance to my assertion that Sam Fisher would do very well in the Fallout universe.
I want
to
see that situation where the dude sneaks up with a shotgun. blasts him, and then his companion's like, I shot that dude in the eyes. He's like, how? You were behind him. He's like, I don't hear him arguing. Also, his eyes are hamburger
now. You didn't hear him go, ow, my eyes?
I heard that. Did you hear that?
Well, thanks for listening, folks.
I just snuck up on him and gave him the double barrel.
Wow! Officially, Chapstick is no longer Chapstick. On podcasts, we can refer to them as that, but that's not his Steam name anymore. Mm-hmm. You still until December 14th I'm over still, here, I'm SJW still SJW argument.
Snowflake.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been real. Play Fallout 1 if you haven't.
And 2.
We'll see
real
you,
cheap.
We'll see you next time. Yeah, and 2. It's really real good. Cheap. Bye, friend.
Is made by my good friend Benjamin Busey. You can find his SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/basicbenji206.